prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, bringing you opinion and commentary. It's our opinion and our commentary. And, of course, we always love to hear your opinion and your commentary on today's economic and political events. 1-800-596-8191 if you'd like to give us a call today. 1-800-596-8191. We're going to be talking lots of things today, this very fine Wednesday afternoon, November 13th, 2013. Man, these dates are just weird anymore. You know, Al?
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. They're just
numbers. Listen, what's weird is the square root of minus one. Now, that's weird. All right? The rest of these numbers are comparatively reasonable, rational, and so on, but...
No, what's weird is my age. No, that's what's hard to say.
Anyway. Yeah, it gets weirder. Stick around. You'll see.
Okay, let's look at gold's numbers today. We have gold up $7, almost $8, at $1,275. Silver, down 15, at $2,061. Platinum down 6, 1437. Palladium down 8, $737. USDX today trading down slightly, 0.23 at 80.91. Crude oil up a buck almost, 76 cents, 93.80. And it just cracks me up. All you hear about, oh, the oil price is just dropping, dropping, dropping. Hello, it's almost $94, and that's where it was before Syria and all the Middle East problems really made it increase up into the when it went over 100, 104, 107, 108. So, I mean, this is, I believe, a common price for oil. Here you have the U.S. We'll be talking about this in a little bit. The U.S. oil production tops net imports, and we still... or paying what we're paying at the pump and everything else. So, you know, it's just
not exactly.
Another
price is down a little bit on oil. I mean, gasoline is down under
not
$3
by
here.
Much.
No, I understand. Not by much. I mean,
down, but not to the degree that you hear the cheerleading on mainstream media. It's still $94.
Yeah.
And to me, a low price in oil, it would have to get into the 70s. For it to be a significant drop in oil. So
well, the point is, it's perhaps headed in that way, and we can expect that it's probably going to move in that direction. I don't know that it's going to 70. I'm not going to argue that. But the United States is increasing the supply. We are becoming the world's biggest exporter of crude oil. We're not quite there yet, if I understand correctly, but we're approaching that point and expect to be the world's largest exporter of crude oil in the next, in the foreseeable future. It means the supply is up. That should indicate that the price is going down.
It also tells you that demand is possibly down, therefore...
For the moment.
Therefore, people, are not having as easy of a time out there in mainstream homes as what we're told they are. Everything's fine and dandy. And
well, you shouldn't be building your home in the middle of a mainstream to begin with, because it just makes the basement
you
damp.
Think?
Yeah, I mean, it gives it that damp.
I said mainstream home.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, if you want to avoid that damp and dusty smell in your home, you got to stay out of the mainstream.
Yeah, I got it, Al. I got it. Anyway, well, I'm going to pick on you. I'm going to listen and pick on you.
I don't mind.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
No, I actually don't.
Oh, yes.
I'm kind of looking forward to it because I know it's not going to work that well.
Oh, you bet. You just wait. You just wait. Let's go ahead. Hey, the S&P 500 and the Dow end at record highs. Woohoo! Renewing the recent rally. NASDAQ added more than 1%. The Dow was up 70 points, 15,821, and that was early morning trading. It was all down. It was down triple digits in the early morning trading, but they were able to reverse it. Thank you, Federal Reserve. They have the NASDAQ up 45 points at 39.65, S&P up 14 at 17.82. A little bit of pressure off the 10-year yield, down 0.04 at 2.72. So, hey, the bull is back. And just a bunch of hogwash, Al, that it's so pathetic. And
is that hogwash or bullwash?
A little bit of both.
All right, bullwash. We're being inundated by
Texas.
Bullwash.
You're in Texas, so it's bull.
If it was a bull market, it follows it would be bullwash. I'm not
sure. Yeah, I get it. But anyway, it's pretty much in the markets today. Oh, man. Hey, 50 Rolex watches sold for $13 million. There's way just too much money in this country yet. And, it's just,
50 Rolex wristwatches sold for $13 million?
Yeah.
You're talking something like $250,000 a watch. Do you realize how many sundials you can buy with $250,000, Melody? You don't even have to put batteries in them. They just work forever, only in the daylight, of course, but they're not exactly that precise. But for that amount of money, I don't know.
Hey, Timex just keeps ticking, right?
I guess, yeah, the Timex just keeps ticking. I assume the Rolex keeps on ticking, but... I have never needed to know what time it is bad enough to have $250,000 clock.
I saw the art world is going crazy. I didn't get the price for what this statue, I don't know if it was made out of bronze or whatever, but it was in the form of balloon art.
Does this have something to do with inflation?
It was balloon art. It was, you know how you take balloons and you put it into the shape of a dog?
Yeah.
Well, this was, it was a large, it was very large. I mean, it sold for, $20 million or something like this. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
J.P. Burnham would be proud. That's all I can tell you. Yeah.
Welcome to the wacky world of.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway. What's happening? Oh, today, let me see if I can pull this number up here. The Treasury Department said today that the deficit in October fell 24% compared with the $120 billion imbalance recorded in October of 2012. And, of course, we all know that the deficit is the gap between the government's tax revenue and spending. And, of course, higher taxes accounted for, 8%. Higher taxes increased 8% in the time frame. And, of course, we all know the across-the-board spending cuts that they had, and you know, with the sequester and, of course, the partial government shutdown also helped lower expenditures in the first month of the new budget year. And I think the first month of the new budget year probably always looks good, but it's the rest of the year that causes concern. And, of course, we know that money is there until January 15th, I believe, Al.
Government. Well, I guess I don't know. As long as there are trees in the Brazilian rainforest and chemicals you can make ink out of, I'm sure there will be money. They print it, you know.
I guess it's December 13th. Could take some pressures off of them who are facing a December 13th deal to fund the government and avoid another shutdown. So we got another month in business, but hey. Look what the shutdown helped. So,
well, apparently, and it's evidence that the government is trying to cut the deficit, right? But it's still the annual deficit in 2013 is $680 billion. Yep. It's the lowest in 5 years and the first in that period below $1 trillion for the annual deficit. But even with that decline, Last year's annual deficit was the fifth largest in history. That's last year's. This one's apparently going below that, but we are still adding to the nation's debt. Right? Instead of adding over $1 trillion to the national debt, we're adding $680 billion to the national debt. Well, that's an improvement, but it's done nothing to reduce the size of the national debt. National debt is still growing, although not as quickly as it had in the past. And that's the fundamental problem. The deficit is interesting. The debt is crucial. This is good news. Government's doing something to cut the size of the growth of the debt, but the debt remains. And while the government claims that the debt is now in the neighborhood of, and now just in, $17 trillion thereabouts, other sources indicate that the actual national debt may be over $200 trillion. If that's the case, what difference does it make if our deficit is $680 billion or $1,680 billion? It doesn't amount to much if the national debt is over $200 trillion. We are still facing a debt problem and a debt crisis eventually. It's going to be untenable.
It's like whacking off $50 on a $1 million budget.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hooray, hooray.
But you know what?
We're being responsible. We're being responsible here in Washington. And
and of course, they'll spin it that way, and that's all we'll hear.
Well, I understand. What's next, Melody?
Oh, let's see. What is next? I guess you could call this, shares of General Motors today. The government had gone in there. The Treasury Department said to Congress that they sold $1.2 billion worth of GM stock in October, and I guess they're looking to finish off the rest here. They're looking to exit hopefully by the end of the year to eliminate all the holdings of shares of GM. And I didn't realize that GM's holding was actually that the government's holding of GM was actually 64% of the company. And I still think there's a lot of monkey business going on in there, and I don't think the government has actually made money on the prospect of owning all these shares. But
it may not have made money, but it's optimistic. It's cause for a certain amount of optimism to see government stepping away. There were some people at the time who feared that government was going to buy part of General Motors and would never relinquish it. It was just part of government getting deeper and deeper into the private sector. And what we see is the government is saying, nope, we have kind of learned our lesson. We're going to stay out of the private sector to as much as we can.
The shares would have to sell for more than $175 each for just the government to break even.
And what did they sell for?
They were selling somewhere around $35.
All right, so the government only lost $145 a share out of 175 or 80, something like that. Means they only lost about 75% of their investment. That's good for government. They've only wasted 75% of their, and this at a time when we've cut the national deficit down to the lowest level in 5 years. So. Break out. See if you can borrow a couple of balloons from that statue you were talking about, Melody, and we can have a celebration.
Yeah, oh, just incredible balloon art. Oh my, sells for multiple millions of dollars. Like, what planet are we really living on now? And you know, it just goes to show you how much more important gold is. The value of gold. I mean, my gosh.
It shows you how much more important common sense is. That's what it's showing. It's, my God, these people are out of their minds. Yeah. And they're rich. Right? They're crazy and they're rich. Is this, do you suppose there's a correlation between being crazy and rich?
Well, you know what's interesting now? Not too long ago, Forbes came out and they listed all the billionaires, you know, for around the world and how these billionaires actually really control. I mean, yes, we do know you have the elitists. We do know who you know, your groups, the Bilderbergers, the, you know, we know those groups. But when you talk to the billionaires and how the impact that they have with their money, it's interesting that they do share a lot of control in world situations, economies, politics, and so forth. And it used to be you really didn't become, you know, most people or most men, I would assume, I'll eliminate women here, really would earn their wealth, their biggest wealth, when they reached their 50s. I guess they're just a little bit smarter, a little wiser, a little more learned, and so
it's because they're not as distracted as they were when they were younger.
But most of their wealth was made within their 50s. Now when you look at some of these billionaires that where they have so much control, they're in their 20s. You know, you look at the Googles, you look at the Facebooks, you look at these kids and these young people, even 30s, that have so much money and they have this incredible power over certain areas.
I understand. No, well, they have a potential power. We'll see how it all works out, but you're right, and it's a good observation that we have so many young billionaires. You know, it's like trusting a kid with the keys to your Ferrari. You got to have a certain amount of maturity to drive a Ferrari. And a lot of kids, you give them the Ferrari, and it's a good way to get the kids dinged up or perhaps even killed. Here, take the keys to my Ferrari. Have a good time. You're going to need a new Ferrari and maybe some new kids before this is all over, but they are eager to take advantage of their extraordinary wealth. And insofar as they haven't had to earn it the hard way, all right, for lack of a better expression, it's just kind of come to them in a way where they got lucky. They were smart, geniuses, but they were also lucky that they were the kid in the backyard garage who figured out a way to do something that they managed to sell for a couple of billion dollars. All right? There's a certain amount of dumb luck in this. There's genius and intelligence, and there's also a certain amount of dumb luck. When you think you're extraordinarily lucky at that age, how lucky can you be? Can you be lucky enough to make a trip to the moon? Can you be lucky enough to influence geopolitics around the world? You know,
well, look at Bill Gates.
You earn it the hard way, and you become cautious. You understand how fragile a fortune is when you've earned it the hard way. All right, traditional way. You earn it by winning the lottery ticket, essentially. And you're not cautious. You get that idea? We can just spend that money however we like. I've got an article here from the New York Times, and it's entitled "Private Donors Funds Add Wildcard to War in Syria." And what they're talking about is that here's one Kuwaiti-based effort raised money to equip 12,000 rebel fighters for $2,500 each. Another campaign run by a Saudi sheikh in Syria, and close to Al Qaeda, called the War Jihad wage jihad, with your money. They give them a silver status if they give $175 for 50 sniper bullets, gold status for giving $350 for 8 mortar rounds. And what we're talking about is the rich are beginning to run the wars. We are seeing evidence of private wars. What we'll do, let's take a break here, Melody, and we'll talk about this a little more when we return. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here in Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. I want to finish up on just the comments that we're making on this New York Times report. Melody had been talking about young people having so much money that billionaires, in some instances, where they can't avoid the temptation to meddle in the affairs of the world. And I was commenting and saying there's a difference between that mentality of a 20-year-old or 30-year-old who's suddenly a billionaire, and there are some. They didn't earn their money the hard way in the sense of grinding and fighting and struggling up through whatever competitive arena you're in until, ta-da, you have $1 billion. People who come to that money by the time they're 50, they appreciate how fragile their hold on that money is, and in their own way, they tend to be cautious and wary and suspicious, and they're not going to stick their necks out. Kids who've become billionaires by virtue of essentially winning the lottery by inventing something in their garage that the world finds, you know, extraordinarily attractive, they have they don't have that sense of work where you grind and you work and you struggle and you work 15 hours a day in order to try to build up $1 billion. They don't have that exactly, and therefore they are not as cautious. They're not as wary, not as suspicious. They think their luck will last forever, and they are therefore entitled to meddle in the affairs of the world. That's part of what Melody was talking about. We had a New York Times article that's private donors' funds add wild card to war in Syria. The emphasis is on private donors. And again, they pointed out one Kuwaiti-based effort raised money to equip 12,000 rebel fighters for $2,500 each. So we have the equivalent we're talking about is a privatized army, right, that's waging war. Insofar as private donors are funding some wars, or at least parts of some wars, does this signal that war is increasingly a private affair? Will future wars be fought for purely private rather than political reasons? Huh? Now, I don't expect we'll ever see a time when wars are fought only for private reasons, but maybe we will. Maybe we will. Maybe that's all it's ever been. Do nations really want to go to war against other nations? Do common people want to get into a war with common people of another nation? Or is it the governments that drive us into these wars? And is it the governments that are serving the best interest of the people? Or are they serving the best interests of the best interests of private interests? Why do we go to these damn wars? I don't see that it does me any good, but it might be doing some rich entities, people, corporations. They profit handsomely from war. I'm not sure that the American people do. And I'm not saying that, and even if we did, I'm not sure that that's a sufficient justification to engage in the murder of other people. We can't just sit back and say, it's against the law to kill people, but not if you get paid for it. Then it's okay. We can't do that. And yet that's what's happening with privatized wars. So we are seeing evidence here that wars become increasingly privatized. And will these future wars be increasingly openly waged by the oligarchy, the rich, right? Rather than cash-strapped governments? Insofar as our government is in over its ears in debt and still running a deficit, they're reducing the deficit, but they're reducing that deficit, it's evidence that the government doesn't have enough corn cobs to go to war again. We've kind of lost much of our ability to at least put boots on the ground after Afghanistan and Iraq. We've depleted our government coffers in a way where it's not clear. We can bomb them, we can nuke them, we can do a few other things that are cost effective, but we can't probably put boots on the ground. Rich people can. And the next question is, who will the oligarchy attack? We have rich people in Kuwait that are giving money, donating money to wage war in Syria. Okay. Is this war being waged against the nation of Syria? Is it being waged against the common people of Syria? Or is it being waged against the rich in Syria? Who will the oligarchy attack? Poor people or other rich people? Will they attack other nations or other corporations? And lastly, what I'm wondering about, Melody brought up the idea that young billionaires have a different mentality than 50-year-old billionaires, and they're more likely to try to engage in world affairs. They're more aggressive. They're more daring. They're more
irresponsible.
Yeah, I know. More invincible and irresponsible.
Immature. Well,
part of the reason for this privatization of war may also be income disparity. Right now, we have a growing concentration of wealth in the hands of the elite rich. 90% of the American people have lost money in the last decade. We're making less today than we did 10 years ago. 10% are making more, and up at the top, the very top of that 10%, they're making fabulously more. By having all of this spectacular income dumped in the hands of the super rich, does that motivate them to engage in, use their wealth to engage in world affairs in a way that we wouldn't have seen in the past, except in James Bond novels, where some super rich guy like Goldfinger wants to involve himself in world affairs. It's at least becoming more. It's becoming more common. Maybe it's always been here. Maybe it's always been the source of most of the meddling, the rich trying to run the world. Hard to say, I don't know, and I probably never will. But to whatever degree it was true in the past, it does appear to be becoming more common today. So, what do you think, Melody?
A lot of money floating around the world. That's what you have when you can continually to print, and when you have fractional reserve banking, and you know it all comes down to really irresponsibility. And you know, there's just they have way too much money, way too much power, and everything. Any legislation that's going to be written is not going to protect you, the listener. It's not going to protect me. It's not going to protect Al. It protects them. The only thing that you can do is protect yourself.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why we talk about these items. Heck, I'd like to be talking about balloon art, but
no, you'd like to be talking about Ruby the dog. That's what Melody
but
likes to
talk
about.
We've got lots of things to talk about today. At least here's some good news. Temporarily, Boehner came out today. Speaker John Boehner said today that the Republicans will not enter into negotiations with the Senate on a massive immigration bill. So that's effectively killing the chances this year for any type of deal that would legalize the illegal immigrants and rewriting of the legal system for them. The House will operate on its own timetable, he said. It's not going to be rushed by President Obama, suggesting a year-end deadline or the looming 2014 elections. And he says, we made it clear that we're going to move on a common sense, well, we're in trouble, step-by-step approach in terms of how we deal with immigration, he said. The idea that we're going to take up a 1,300-page bill that no one had ever read, which is what the Senate did, is not going to happen in the House. And frankly, I'll make clear, we have no intention of ever going to conference on the Senate bill. So that announcement came after the House Republicans held a closed-door meeting today. And, of course, so that, I guess, tables that at least till the first of the year.
I'm going to give the Republicans a certain amount of credit. You know, I have been pessimistic about the Republicans and disparaging about the Republicans. I'm always disparaging about the Democrats, but the Democrats, they do what they're going to do, and they don't make any bones about it. You know, they just say, well, we're going to rob people and we're going to keep it for the government. They're obvious. There's nothing subtle about them. The Republicans have been talking one way and acting a different way for a considerable period of time, in my estimation at least. And yet, most here recently, the Republicans are essentially saying, look, we're not going to vote for the damn immigration bill. Well, hooray! And there's also a gay rights bill that came through from the Senate. And the Republicans are saying, we're not having it. It's not going anywhere today. Huh? They backed off on that. There was a firearms treaty that was associated with the United Nations, and the Republicans didn't vote to support that treaty. And as a result, so far as I know, the treaty has been put on hold, at least for a while. We'll see where it's going. So the point I'm making is my usual contempt for both political parties has been moderated to some degree. It appears that the Republicans are actually trying to do what Republicans claim they do, which is limit the power of government and limit taxes and so on and rest of sort of things. So hooray for the Republicans. Huh? It may be that they're coming around. What else, Melody?
Well, we're going to jump to the other side. They made the announcement today of how many enrollments have been processed from the website. Fewer than 27,000 on the federal website. There's been over estimates already of 5 million. Actually, you get two different numbers. There was 27,000 of the signups that came from 36 states where the federal government is running the health insurance exchange, which has been beset with the technical difficulties. The remainder, 79,000, came through the 15 marketplaces run by the states and the District of Columbia. So actually, there's been 100,000 little over 100,000 people that have actually enrolled, and 27,000 of those actually sign up on the website, and that's from 36 different states. So, yeah, that's just hopping right along, isn't it?
Yeah. How many of them have been robbed so far? We know how many have signed up. How many of them have been robbed? Because there's apparently a problem. Obama has been relying on volunteers to run.
No, we talked about this a long time ago.
Well, we can talk about it again.
Listening?
There's
Weren't
no
you
reason.
Listening?
We can talk about it again.
Weren't you listening?
No, I listened to all of it. I don't necessarily pay attention, but I listened.
Yeah, there was no background checks.
No, I understand. I understand. So it'll be interesting to see. This will be the next big story, all right? How many people who've signed up for Obamacare have discovered that since signing up, coincidentally, somebody has robbed their bank accounts or stolen their credit cards or whatever? It'll be interesting to see how that works out. That'll be a study. You can bet this is going to come within the next, I'll bet it comes within the next 30 days. Before the end of this year, we will see a study, and it might be a lot sooner than that. I've got an article here.
Hey, wait, before we move on, because we're talking about Obamacare.
Yep.
March 21st, this is in from Robert. It's an email in. He says, for our information, March 21st, 2010 to October is 3 years, 6 months, 10 days. December 7th, 1941 to May 8th, 1945 is 3 years, 5 months, 1 day. What this means is that in the time we were attacked by at Pearl Harbor to the day Germany surrendered is not enough time for this federal government to build a working web page. Mobilization of millions, building tens of thousands of tanks, planes, jeeps, subs, cruisers, destroyers, torpedoes, millions upon millions of guns, bombs, ammo, and so forth. Turning the tide in North America, invading Italy, D-Day, Battle of the Bulge, race to Berlin, all while we were also fighting the Japanese in the Pacific, and they can't build a web page.
They need to contact WordPress. You know, I have a little blog on WordPress, and they do a good job for me. You know, it doesn't cost anything, and it's not complicated. That's what Obama should have gone to WordPress in the first place. Here, more on Obama, though. This is an article from the Washington Times. Headline, Bill Clinton, other Democrats distance themselves from Obamacare. In a startling rebuke to President Obama, former President Bill Clinton and other Democrats picked apart Obamacare on Tuesday as privacy concerns about the program's website multiplied and a video investigation suggested fraudulence, what a weird word. It's not flatulence, you understand, fraudulence, among volunteers helping people to enroll and for government subsidies. This is going to come out. This is going to break loose. These people are being robbed. I'll bet on it. They're not just being robbed by the president. They're being robbed by the president's volunteers. Mr. Clinton called on the president to make good on his repeated and emphatic promise that Americans who like health insurance, their health insurance plans can keep them. The White House said Mr. Obama is considering a range of options but didn't commit to Mr. Clinton's proposal. And as I said yesterday when we talked about this, I don't think Obama can agree to it. He may have to. I won't say that it won't happen, but he can't agree to allow a privatized health care system to operate at the same time as we have a government-controlled health care system. The contrast in prices and services will become too great for the government system to survive. So he may have to do it before it's done, but I guarantee he will not do it. He will not do it voluntarily. In a reminder of Mr. Clinton's on-again, off-again relationship with Mr. Clinton, Mr. Obama's on-again, off-again relationship with Mr. Clinton. President spokesman pointed out that Mr. Clinton tried and failed to enact universal health care during his administration. I'll bet Clinton just loves having his nose rubbed in that by President Obama. And then they go on, they say the highly public rebuff prompted by Clinton against Obama prompted open speculation that Team Clinton, that would be Bill and Hillary, has begun to distance itself from Mr. Obama in preparation for a presidential bid by Hillary Rodham Clinton in 2016. And so starts the Clinton team slowly walking away from the train wreck that is the Obama presidency, said John Freery, a Republican strategist in Washington. Here is my point. If Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are starting to distance themselves from Obamacare, it's more evidence that this is going to die. This is going to be a problem. It's not going to be a success, and the rats are deserting the ship. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Take another break. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, which brings us to the special du jour. What do you got for special today, Melody?
Hey, we're going to carry through the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle coin, 1/10 of an ounce gold eagle. It's a $5 little gold piece, along with a tube of 1 ounce silver rounds, and the total price on that is $620. Gold's up. We're still going to carry it through the same price, $620. And if you purchase 5 of those packages, which would come to $3,100, we'll include a free 1 ounce silver eagles. But you have to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We have both a caller and a question. So Al.
Well, is it my choice? How come I have to make the decision on this?
Let's talk to Dave in Michigan.
All right. You make the decision. We'll talk to Dave in Michigan. Dave, how you doing?
Hi, Melanie. Al. Good. Listen, this weekend they launched the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier, and it's the first aircraft carrier not to have urinals. So maybe that's to match the new hats the Marines are getting. But anyway.
Doesn't have urinals.
Pardon?
It doesn't have urinals?
Restrooms that do not have, they're unisex, don't have urinals. Maybe that's they're trying to save some money. I don't know.
I think that's discrimination. I don't know. I think that's discrimination. Maybe we should do away with toilets instead of urinals. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, everybody stand over to the side. Gerald Ford was the never passed a bill in his life, and in Michigan there. And I remember LBJ said Jerry was a nice guy, but he played too much football without a helmet. And if you remember that comment. In regards to health care, I remember a long time ago on Shortwave Show, I heard that a day in a hospital was $34, and once Medicare got passed, the next year it was $145 because they knew they could get it from the government. So there's nothing efficient with using the government.
I understand that. It's a guaranteed subsidy of whatever business government providing for it. It becomes a subsidy for that business, and the government just collects the money out of the taxpayers, and people wind up overpaying whether they want to or not. I've seen it before, same thing in Texas. They mandated automobile insurance back now 15, 20 years ago. I don't recall exactly when, but prior to that, automobile insurance was optional, wasn't required by law, and you could afford to get your car fixed. Once they made insurance mandatory, the price of automobile repairs became prohibitive. I mean, it jacked prices up a great deal because no one cared. You walk in, you had insurance, you walked into the auto repair shop, and how much it cost to put a new bumper, and it cost three, four, five times what it used to cost. Nobody cared because the insurance company's paying for it. And the bill got passed on to everyone else. Your observation about government providing certain kinds of insurance and watching prices go up, health insurance, it's exactly right. It's not grounds for efficiency. It's not a basis for lower prices. It is, you can expect to spend more on health care, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to government's ability to provide it for you. It'll be inefficient.
At another point, a friend of mine works at an urgent care for a major hospital, and this one family would always show up last minute with Granny, and they can't let them all go in the room with Granny anymore. And they left, all the cabinets would be emptied, all the bandages would be consumed. They said, well, you're not doing that again. But now they don't show up anymore because they found out that they owe the hospital $1.2 million, and the last address they gave was a parking lot.
You mean they spent $1.2 million on a parking lot?
They owe the hospital $1.2 million, and their billing address was a parking lot. They have no ID, and they're going to put bogus addresses.
So what you're suggesting is this was outright fraud.
Well, why would it take the hospital $1.2 million before they found out it was a bogus address?
Maybe they're using a different name every time. I have no idea.
But it's just more evidence. They shovel the money around like horse manure or whatever. And there's just so much of it. Nobody's really being responsible.
A lot of responsibility was taken away from the employee. I mean, it was your employees are made not to think. Computers have taken over. The computers, they can't make judgment calls or anything. It is what it is, and
they can't
and
have their programs.
The computers can, but the people, they don't have a say anymore, and it is what it is. So yeah, I guess things like that can get done.
Not even the don't have a say, they don't have a comprehension. A lot of these things are so vast and so complex that anyone operating, sitting in a little cubicle, the only thing you know is your one little section of responsibility for what's going on. It's difficult to even connect the dots where you can see the whole picture and say, wait a second, there's something wrong going on here. Within that little section that you get to control, it's hard to see that there's a problem.
Yeah, so you can see all the waste. We only knew how much money is being wasted by the government.
The fraud. There's fraud everywhere. Doctors, I've seen it. I've heard about it. I know doctors were getting kickbacks from these, CAT scans were popular, and MRIs, 20 years ago. Doctors got a kickback for every patient that they gave one. It was $250, I was told, that they get. So, I mean, they had an incentive. The fraud is everywhere.
Busted. Melanie, there's a doctor in Michigan here that just got busted 15 $60 million in fraud giving patients chemo treatments whether they need it or not. And they thought he might be a flight risk to the Mideast. So he's currently in jail.
Yeah. There's good doctors and there's bad, but there's a lot of fraud.
$50 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing to come
anyway,
on, Bill.
That's the news from Michigan today.
Well,
all right, Dave, thank you.
Dave.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, take
care. You too.
You know,
one of the things about this, there's an old saying, thank God you don't get the government you pay for. We complain about government being engaged in fraud and waste and the rest of that, but imagine what this country would be like if government was 100% efficient. As much money as we give them, we'd all be living. The police state would be omnipresent. I'd probably have a guard looking over my shoulder and telling me what to say on the program right now. It's because they're so efficient, they don't have the money to do that. So, you know, thank God for government inefficiency.
Here's an email. Up to 69% of employer-based health care plans may be canceled. No one is safe. And he tells us about his sister who got her notice last week that she's going to be canceled as of December 31st. And the cheapest monthly premium that she could find so far will double for a private plan like theirs, which is only going up 4.8% in January after an 18% increase for January 2013 and full year. That's an increase for her sister. $550 a month for her alone to $1,100 a month. That would be about $2,200 a month for a couple. Robert says theirs is $2,148 as of January 1, 2014, and he's actually shopping for other coverage with some success so far. He says this program, Obamacare, will over a few years probably destroy our whole health care delivery system for everyone. Medicaid, Medicare, SSI, VA, corporate, individual plans. It is as if, and I believe it was, designed with foreknowledge that it would destroy the system, like a big power grab to control health care's existing about 16% of our total economy and growing. Galloping socialism with more than 50% of the voting populace now getting fed from the public trough. Some type of monthly check or government subsidized benefit. There is no turning back now until the whole system can no longer be supported.
Well, I don't know that there's no turning back, but I understand exactly what he's saying and what he's pointing to. And why would it happen that the entire healthcare system is placed in jeopardy by Obamacare? And he's alleging, whoever wrote the email, is alleging that it's part of a conspiracy with the intention of breaking American health care. Mm-hmm. All right? And I'm sitting back and wondering if it's not just a function of ego. Right now, what is holding Obamacare together other than Obama's refusal to see the truth? What's holding it together other than some politician's refusal to admit that they'd made an enormous mistake? All right? There's a lot of ego involved here, and a lot of this, if some people could just look at this and say, wait a second, this is a bunch of crapola, it's not going to work. It's all that's required. But instead, we have positions and egos and territories, and we got to fight for our side, even if our side is wrong. And so here we are.
I've got two more questions. One is from Monday that I really need to ask. It changes the topic. We might have already answered his question for today about health care. Can they put the genie back in the bottle about the cancellations? They have that new legislation to try to turn back the clock on these cancellations. I don't believe they can. I don't know how they can.
People let it happen. I mean, it's up to we got to get enough people who are not willing to admit they made a mistake.
Yeah, but the insurance companies within the states are so complicated when it comes to filing their rates, all the changes, all the updates. They basically would have to I don't know how they would do it because
it's
you have.
It's very simple. One of the things you could do is you could just do what the Republicans have been advocating for some time, put it on hold for another year and say this is not ready for prime time.
Yeah, but
you've received a notice where they're going to suspend. They're going to cancel your policy.
Yeah, but you already have people that haven't been canceled that have already received their new billings with increased rates. They're going to turn back those rates?
Well, I don't. Well, that's another story.
No,
that's,
I mean, you're opening up.
I thought they were given notice of what the rates would be, but they haven't been billed for them yet.
No, everybody's
those
got new rates.
Kick in next year sometime.
No, everybody's
yeah, but
got new
are they
rates
in charge
20-
new rates?
For 2014, yes, that's what he just
said. Yeah, but starting in 2014, they haven't actually been paying those rates yet. It's not a big problem in the world of computers. Government can't run computers, of course, Melody, but private enterprises can. They can just say, okay, never mind. They'll just send out another notice that never mind. All right, we're not going to do this until instead of January of 2014, it'll be January of 2015. That's all. Set it back a year. And we keep going for at least a year as is. And then either Obamacare gets smoothed out or it is dispensed with. But you can, you know.
I think what they have to weigh, is it more of a nightmare by putting the genie back in the bottle, or is it more of a nightmare just to let it go and let people deal with it? What's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of people that go without coverage for a period.
Of course there are.
Yeah.
Of course there are. You know, I mean, this thing is going to be a disaster. And again, we read that article earlier where the Clintons are backing away from Obamacare. Now,
yeah,
these people are not, they get it. They understand they have a pretty good grasp of what's going on in politics, and they know which way the wind is blowing. And Clinton would not abandon Obamacare if they thought it was going to work. They won't jump off a winning program.
They're just distancing themselves in case she runs in 2016.
Anticipation that Obamacare is going to fold up.
I got 2 minutes for this other question. This is in from Ivan, and he wants to make sure we get it asked today. France torpedoed the Geneva between P5+1 and Iran because they said that Israel is in jeopardy. Obama says Obama plays the good cop and France plays the bad cop. And there is no difference between them. Obama is just another Israeli's puppet. Saudi Arabia is joined at the hip with Israel. The Saudis are a creation of Israel when you study history. Two-state solution will never work. It is dead on arrival. Your comments?
Well, I don't know. Two-state, you know, I subscribe to what we, as far as I'm able to understand, end times in the Bible, I agree with the Bible. I'm not going to tell you that I can't give you prophecy, and I can't tell. But I look at it and I say, look, they say peace, peace, and there is no peace. It's a line from the Bible speaking in terms of end times and the threats against Israel, and I agree with that. Everybody who's out there says, oh, we're going to have peace. No, we're not. Wake up. We are not going to see peace in the Middle East in your lifetime and mine, at least until after the Messiah returns. As long as there are, I don't think you could see peace in the Middle East if you got rid of Israel. I think the Middle East is so unstable, if they can't pick on Israel, they'll pick on somebody else. There is a problem there, something in the drinking water, and they can't seem to have peace. So, will the two-state solution work? No. I don't believe it for a minute. And neither will any of the other solutions. You want a solution? Look in the Old Testament. Look in the New Testament. Study end times, and you might see a solution. We are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
Man. money, money, always.